On this Father's Day and Men of the Church Sunday, we acknowledge the importance of our fathers, a role that our society continues to diminish, a society which now refuses even to define what a woman is. The God-given role of father is important. It is not the same as the role of a mother, which is also an important God-given role. Children do best in homes with a father and a mother present, and this has been proven time and time again. Here are some facts about U.S. children. Over 25% of children in our country live in fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides occur in fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway youths come from fatherless homes. 85% of children in fatherless homes have behavioral disorders. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. We're the exception. The dropout rate is 9 times higher than a high schooler with a two-parent home. 70% of juvenile delinquents come from fatherless homes, which often ends up becoming a self-perpetuating cycle, because then those juvenile delinquents grow up and they have children and they end up back in crime and become in prison. 75% of minors in rehab come from fatherless homes. 75% of rapists come from fatherless homes. Children without fathers are 4 times more likely to be at risk of poverty. Infant mortality is 9 times greater in fatherless homes, which tells you a lot about the importance of fathers, even in early infancy, where motherhood is more often emphasized. Girls without fathers in their homes are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as teenagers than girls in two-parent homes. Children without fathers are 9 times more likely to suffer from obesity. We have heard way too much about mass shootings lately. 75% of these shooters, including the Uvalde shooter, the Parkland shooter, the Sandy Hook shooter, and the Columbine shooters, came from fatherless homes. Clearly, fathers provide something that mothers cannot. There is additional stability, provision, the installation of values that happens when fathers are actively present in their children's lives. And just so you know, I didn't make this stuff up. My sources include the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. Census Bureau, the National Center for Fathering, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, American Sociological Review, the Pew Research, and others. Last year, on Father's Day, we heard that it was God who gave the job of passing along the faith to the next generation, specifically to fathers. And we saw what happened when the fathers dropped the ball and failed to pass along the faith. We ended up in the book of Judges, where we saw that everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. In today's passage in 1 Corinthians 4, we see Paul passing along the faith to the Corinthian people. He reminds them that he's their spiritual father, and he exhorts them to imitate him. Now, regardless of whether we're fathers or mothers or neither, we are challenged today to live a life worthy of imitation. There's two responses often that happen when we minimalize fatherhood that we see in our society today. One is nihilism or fatalism, which plays out in those statistics that I gave you, and the other is an attitude of pride or superiority. And together we see both of those playing out in the such things as gang violence and supremacy groups and critical theory and identity disorders. It's sort of this combination of nihilism, nothing matters, fatalism, it's going to happen anyway, and pride. Note that fatherlessness is not the root cause of these things, but it certainly affects them. Fatherless people tend to be attracted to these things as they seek a sense of belonging and identity. Fatherless people are more likely to become the victims of bad ideas, and our world is full of bad ideas. We see identity disorder at play today in our scripture reading. In the Corinthian church, they had identity disorders. First, they're divided into groups as to which apostle they thought was better. Oh, Paul is better. No, Apollos is better. I'm on Apollos' team. I'm on the Paul team. Oh, I'm on the Peter team. He's the best of them all. They were divided into these camps, claiming that they were superior to the others. But Paul says, we're not superior to you, and we're not superior to each other. We are stewards of God's truth and the gospel. Paul also calls them under-rowers of the mystery of God. The under-rowers were the slaves who were down in the bottom boat. They weren't on the top. You couldn't see them from the deck. But you could see what they did from the outside of the boat because they had those big oars, and they were the ones rowing the boat. So without them, the boat wasn't going to go very far. Much of the work that the apostles did, Paul says, is hidden work. God's servant shouldn't be out to make a name for themselves. So the Corinthians were divided into camps. So we're better because we follow this guy. No, we're better because of this guy. And they also thought that they were better, that they had arrived. So now they're even saying, no, we're better than the apostles because we know it all. God had chosen them to be the rulers and judges over people. And though Jesus does say that his saints are going to judge the world when Jesus comes again to reign, Paul says this has not happened yet. They are not in a position to judge. They don't know all that is going on. In fact, Paul's going to show them in the next chapter and in subsequent chapters how they're not superior, but in fact are morally degenerate. And he's going to point out a lot of things that they're doing that are very displeasing to God. There's some serious rampant sin in the church, and they are being very disobedient to the Lord. When it comes to judging Paul, Paul says, I'm not really concerned about what you think of me. Not that it doesn't hurt when we're judged. And Paul probably was annoyed and hurt as well. But he knows, he says, I got a clear conscience. If we live with a clear conscience, we don't have to worry so much about what other people think of us. People are always watching us and making judgments about us. It's unavoidable. It's what we do. But are you like Paul with a clear conscience, knowing that God is your ultimate judge? Or do you worry too much about what other people think? And do you live your life in a way that you would want others to imitate you? Paul makes it clear that they're not to imitate them because he's perfect or sinless or superior to them. And he even says, I can't even let my conscience be my judge because it doesn't justify me. Paul confesses that he can't even trust himself to be his own judge, but only God can judge him, and God will judge him. He's justified by what God has done through the cross of Christ. One of the problems in the Corinthian church is that they had thought that they'd arrived. But Paul doesn't boast in his position or his abilities or even his moralities. He boasts in what Christ has done. There's a song by a group called Big Daddy Weave, originally released, I think, in 2015, called My Story. The lyrics say, if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, when justice was served and where mercy wins. of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you'd hear victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Jesus. If you were to tell your story, what would people hear? Would they be hearing of your accomplishments and your achievements? Or would they be hearing about what Jesus has done in and through your life? How does your life tell the story of God's faithfulness? These are the stories that we need to share. When we get to verse 15, Paul reminds the Corinthians that they don't have many fathers. They have lots of tutors or guardians, and that word doesn't mean teachers. It refers to the servants who were responsible that the boys got to and from school safely, because sexual predation of young boys was prevalent in Roman culture. So you needed a guardian to walk you where you needed to go. Now, this same guardian or tutor might review the lessons, but he is not the teacher. He's not the philosopher or instructor or the schoolmaster. They guided and they helped, they protected, but they were not the same as fathers. Paul reminds them that he is their spiritual father. He's not just a guide and a guardian and a protector. Fathers are different. They're more invested. They love their children. They don't do what they do for pay. And because they love their children, they discipline their children. It is fathers who instill the values to their children. And just like earthly fathers, spiritual fathers are critical. They're crucial. They play these same roles. They play the same roles. They instill values. They love. They don't do what they do for pay. And one of the ways that we can address the fatherless crisis in our culture today is by men who are willing to take on the role of spiritual father. Unlike merely being a guardian, being a spiritual father takes a deep level of commitment. Guardians and tutors were not necessarily people who were worthy of imitation. In fact, the father might not want the children imitating what the guardians did off the clock. But a father knows that the children are always watching. The Corinthians didn't get to see everything that Paul did behind the scenes, so they judged him wrongly. However, that didn't stop Paul from living behind the scenes the same way that he did in front of them. He lived with a clear conscience, striving to serve the Lord. Now, Paul wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes and some pretty big ones. But he knows who Jesus is, and he knows what Jesus has done for him. And he wants others to know about Jesus. And so he can say, imitate me, so much so that he repeats these words later in chapter 11. In 11 verse 1, he says, be imitators of me just as I am of Christ. So here he clarifies what he means when he says, imitate me. He wants them to imitate him in the ways that he imitates Christ. He wants them to have a passion for holiness, to have humility, to think about the ways that they treat other people, and to share the gospel. Friends, I'm emphasizing men today because our society is desperate for fathers and spiritual fathers. We see that fathers play a unique role in the lives of their families. So men, you are important. But whether we're male or female, We can all ask ourselves if we are living our lives in a way that we would want others to imitate us. The things that we do in secret, do we want other people to imitate us then, as well as the way we present ourselves in public? The world is watching us. Sometimes they're going to make fun of us. Sometimes they are going to think they're a lot better than us, that they're morally superior to us. But we can live with a clear conscience before God if we're striving to follow Jesus. Let's not live in a way that we would be ashamed of others imitating us, but strive in a way that we could say, imitate me as I strive to imitate Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you for fathers and we thank you for men. We thank you for those who have played roles in our lives to teach us the values that we have, to show us who you are. We thank you for those who have loved us unconditionally, for those who have guided us and been mentors to us. God, most of all, we thank you that you are our Father, and we acknowledge that you are also our judge. So help us each to live in a way that we imitate our brother Jesus, and that we can invite others to imitate us. Lord, remind us of our stories, of the things that you've done in our lives that we should be telling others, of your grace and your mercy and your goodness and the ways you've rescued us and changed us and shaped us, the impact that you have in our lives. Lord, we pray today for those who don't have fathers, who are suffering in our world, in our community, in our country. And we pray that you would raise up father figures for them. We pray for fathers who are struggling, who doubt their importance. And we pray that you would remind them that they are important. Lord, help us to live lives worthy of imitation. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is our insert, God of our Fathers.